Good morning. So I'm sure everybody knows I'm not my dad. That's about 3 inches taller and about 100 pounds heavier. So he's actually over at Lentz Gilbert this morning filling in because the pastor had an emergency. So fittingly, he recruited his son, the funeral director, to do the memorial service. So with that, Ecclesiastes 3:1-7 tells us that there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, and a time to tear down and a time to build. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak. We've gathered as a church today to share our loving memories of Annie Murray Weiss. She was such a special member in our church family, and today we gather to remember her. Annie touched each of our lives in so many wonderful and loving ways. Annie had a trusting faith in God that she shared often about how great he was. Death is a part of life. We say that so matter of fact until the death is of one whom we love. Monday, we had a homecoming celebration for Annie, and we know that she is in her eternal home now and forever, as she always knew she would be after she gave her life to the Lord. We can trust and believe in that. We gather to remember to share our memories of who Annie was and what she shared. In a few moments, Pastor Val will be asking you if you would like to come and share a short story or memory about Annie. All of this is part of our remembering. All those memories and images come to mind, whether we want them to or not. They bring pleasure and happiness because we loved Annie. She definitely left a mark on each of our lives. God gave Annie nearly 107 years ago, gave life nearly 107 years ago. He also created and preserves our lives. He sent his son Jesus to us and allowed him to experience death as we do, and then raised Jesus from the dead. Because he lives, we shall also live. If we only had memories, if we only had ourselves to trust in, and if we only had our grief and sorrow to fill our lives, there would be no point in going on. None of that is enough to build a life upon. But we are not left to only to ourselves. We can turn to God. We know him as the Lord of our life who defeated death once and for all. We have needed the assurance of his presence before, that living presence that stays with us and cares for us no matter what happens. Whenever we face the death of a family member or friend, we need it more than ever, and we have it. The Apostle Paul puts it in this way, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angel nor demon, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, not anything else in all of creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We can trust and depend on that love in the midst of our sorrow. God cared for Annie, and he continues to care for each of us today. He offers comfort in the nearness of his presence. We can call to him, and he will hear us and bring comfort. God offers us light in the midst of the darkness, security when our world around us lies in pieces, and a love that is not subject to death. God is with us now. He is assuring us of his care and compassion. Annie knew and believed what God has said in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Our lives are infinitely precious to him. Death is not the end of our relationship with God. It is a new beginning of that eternal life which we have received when we gave our life to Jesus, that life that can never be taken from us. I believe four things happen after the incident in which we call death occurs. I believe the transition from this life to the afterlife is immediate. I believe that the afterlife is a spiritual existence. I believe it is a time where recognition, remembrance, and personal identification is possible. And I believe it is a place of growth. The first, as I said, is I believe that it is immediate. I believe that death is the comma in the sentence of life. There is a pause, and then you go on. I think death is a stoplight on the road of life. You obediently stop, but when the light changes, you go on. I believe that the afterlife comes immediately after the current life. It is like going to bed at night and waking up the next morning in heaven. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he said to the thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." I believe the human spirit is so precious in God's sight that when it is not housed in this physical body, it is housed in a spiritual body. The second thing I believe is it is a spiritual existence. The Apostle Paul indicates that we put on a spiritual body, which God gives to us. Remember that Jesus also said from the cross, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Jesus had a firm conviction that there was a body and spirit. I believe the resurrection was a spiritual resurrection. I believe that identification, personality, recognition, and remembrance are a part of the afterlife. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. He says, you. It is a remembrance, a recognition of you. Remember, Jesus in the garden was not immediately recognized by Mary, but when he spoke her name, she knew who Jesus was. Finally, I believe it is a place of growth. Annie studied her Bible, and she knew her Bible. Heaven is a place of growth. Annie was eager to return home. At this moment, she is probably sitting at the feet of Jesus, asking questions and learning from the Master.
How fitting to spend some time in the church service, remembering Annie and her life and what she stood for. Annie was born in Savannah, Georgia on June 23rd, 1907. I know, that's a long time ago. Savannah at that time was a thriving port town, and because of that, Annie had many friends that were of different nationalities and different races, and she learned to like and to love people from all over the place. In her life, Annie actually was a skilled French dressmaker in New York City. Throughout Annie's life, she experienced the trials and the tribulation, but through it all, her faith never quivered. And her love for the Lord remained steadfast. Her love for the Lord extended in her desire to help others. She contributed endlessly to her church, us. She supported several organizations, and even in her earlier years, she volunteered in the community. Some of you will know her far better than I did, and you'll get the opportunity to share a little bit about Annie in a couple moments here. But for the past 35 years, Annie had made her home here in Portland, Oregon. And her love and her words of wisdom and her stories of triumph will never be forgotten. Now, Annie was preceded in death by her husband, Harold, and her son and her daughter. Annie passed away here in Portland the morning of February 11th, 2014. And this past Monday, her family and some church members and friends were able to gather together and have her funeral service. And I know many of you weren't able to make it because of work and the timing. And so we had people ask if we could do something as a church. And so we've put together this part of the service so that we could remember Annie, remember her life, and remember, and you can all share some of the stuff, stories that you have for her and some of the stuff that she meant to you. Before we get to that, here's a video.
Oh, tell them, say hello, church.
Okay, go ahead now. You can talk to them.
Hello, church. I love you. I miss you. I'm sorry I can't be with you, but God be with you, me, and all of us, and keep us all in your arm of love, and have a happy, happy holiday season.
Easter.
God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
That was one of the visits when I got to go visit with Annie a couple of years ago, just before Easter. And I thought it was fitting that she could share that because even though she may not physically be here with us, and she hadn't been for several years because of her health, she was with us in spirit. And I know she is now. And I remember on the visits, whenever I would go to visit with Annie, she would always take my hand and she would tell me her story. And maybe you've heard this, where she had the vision from the Lord, and the Lord took and said, take my hand and put your hand in mine and look in my eyes. Never look to the right and never look to the left. I will never leave you, and follow me. And I remember Annie would always tell me that, and I would go to visit with her. And I was going to visit her to comfort her and to be with her, but she was always cheering me up and always had a way of making me feel like I was the one being blessed. And that was Annie, and her life and the way she lived. And she was just a very special lady. And we're going to give you all an opportunity now to share some of your memories, some of your stories about Annie. And I know you can do it without a microphone, but we are recording this. And so I've asked the ushers if they can go around, and there'll be two of them and trying to work back and forth as you share your stories, your memories of Annie. Anybody want to share? Okay, we'll start here, and then we'll catch the next one.
I know everybody here knows that Annie was, I was her favorite usher. She wouldn't let nobody else walk her but me. And it was an honor to be her favorite usher. And I miss her dearly, but I know she's with God, playing with God, and telling everybody to be wise and keep the faith, you know. And I'll miss that with Annie. I got to find a new partner to usher. Oh, Gabriella. I look forward to being on your arm. But Annie always reassured me that whatever was going wrong in my life, that it could be worse, you know. And that's why I work with the kids at Shriners Hospital in Dornbecker's, because it could be worse. I could be up there in a bed. We beat cancer 3 times, so I'm lucky to be here today, too. And my friend Beverly just passed away at 62. She's a real good close friend. And she's up with Annie now. Thank you.
A story about Annie, a memory that you have?
I got a production. No, you wouldn't believe that, huh? Well, remember the song, Bullfrogs and Butterflies, both been born again. Well, when we had a birthday party, we were all frogs. Fully rely on God today. This is the way. This is the only way to stay close by his side. I will abide. Fully rely on God. Annie was the one that told me I was on the right path. She always encouraged me, and she said, I was on the right path, and to keep on going no matter what anyone said. The other day, I was so discouraged by a chain of events, and I was falling back into a deep depression that I've been in for 5 years. And I read a devotion for February 29th. There's not a February 29th, right? This year. But it was from Annie, and it said, let me find it real quick here. It was straight from the horse's mouth, if you might say. So, you are on the right path. Listen more to me and less to your doubts. I am leading you along the way I designed for you. Therefore, it is a lonely way, humanly speaking. But I go before you as well as alongside you. You are never alone. Do not expect anyone to understand fully my ways with you. Is that true with me? Does anyone of you understand God's way with how crazy I can be sometimes? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Do not expect anyone to fully understand my ways with you any more than you can comprehend my dealings with others. I am revealing to you a path of life day by day and moment by moment. As I say to my disciple, Peter, which is my favorite disciple because he had quite an anger problem. So I repeat to you, follow me. And then there's a scripture that she shared with me. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto your path. And she just always seemed to encourage me. She would come up and encourage me all the time. And she knew I was kind of special. And it's not always a good thing to be special. So I just really, really love Annie. And I wanted to share the card that I got for her. It says, thank you. Dear Annie, your thoughtfulness is appreciated more than you know. I will miss you and love you. Lenita Harkema. Jesus is so blessed to have you for all eternity. I'm sure going to miss that little Annie.
Anyone else? Okay, Karen's got
one. I have my own mic from up there, but I was blessed enough to have Annie as a Sunday school teacher, and then I got to teach her children, or her great nieces. But I was always amazed. And, you know, in the period when I was growing up in the 1960s, there was so much, and I guess to an extent there may always be. I don't understand why God allowed this to happen, but with the races, with the different skin colors, and just at that point in the 1960s, there was a lot of tension, especially. And the color in this church at that time basically was white, except Annie and Teresa. And they, there was no skin color when you came in here. It was love when you came in here. But to be bold enough to come in and just look for the love and not look for, do I fit in? You know, sometimes I think people look on the outside too much. And to see Annie and Teresa not looking to, do I fit into the group from the outside, but do I fit into the group by what's inside? And they both did that. And I always respected that of them. And they fully did. They were just engulfed in love, and they were such integral parts of our church for so long. And anyway, I loved them dearly both, and now I will miss them dearly. And Lacey, and I would go over every once in a while and visit Annie, not nearly as often. We went over a couple of times, I should say. And I asked her if she wanted to come down and say anything. And she said, well, I really didn't know her well, very well, Mom. But I just remember all the beautiful hats she would wear to church. But she always dressed to the nines. You know, it was like she came dressed to respect the Lord. I mean, she was putting on her best for God all the time. As the church became comfortable wearing whatever, and it's acceptable to wear whatever, Annie was always dressed her best for the Lord at all times. And it's an inspiration to do that. And that's why I'm dressed as nice as I am today in honor of Annie. But I love her and I miss her. And hopefully your family, as I'm looking at Gabriella and Veronique, it will take me a long time to get used to calling you that, Marissa. But as I look at you, I hope that you will stay in touch with our church congregation, because you are a family.
Anyone else?
In 1988, I had the blessing in my life to go to the Grand Canyon. And the Grand Canyon, if you haven't been there before, is one of the most amazing places on earth. It was for me, is for me. I remember standing there for the longest time looking out and thinking, this is one of the most miraculous creations of God. And about 10 years later is when I met Annie. And Annie was always my Grand Canyon, just a creation of God that was absolutely amazing and miraculous. I can't say that word, sorry. And she always will be. So I have always said that and always felt that Annie is my Grand Canyon.
Anyone else?
I just want to say, my name is Elaine Montag, and I'm Annie Wise's niece. And when I went to take care of my aunt 3 years and 3 months ago, I didn't want to do it because I was retired, and I wanted to have my own time. But I did it because I knew that God wanted me there, and I dare not do what he wanted. But I wanted to say I learned many things from my aunt. Devotion that I had stopped having. With, you know, going through the Bible, reading it every day. I had left that 20 years ago. I went back to it. And another thing is that my aunt noticed that. She said, you know, you get up in the morning and you take your shower and you get dressed, but you don't say, thank you, Lord, who has breathed through you. And you go to bed at night and you say your prayers, but you don't thank him. So if anything, to remember my aunt, remember that God has given us a new day. We can start our life over. No matter what we have done, it's a new day. And like Pastor Doug said, we live it to the fullness. And then in the evening, we thank the Lord. We ask him for his blessing and to bring us safely through the night. And that's what I learned from my aunt.
Anyone else?
I just take a little while getting started. Anyway, I'm Gabriella, and I'm the oldest living relative of Annie's now. And I just wanted you to know that we're talking about Annie and who she is. But I want you to know where she came from. Annie just didn't miraculously appear, you know, and all of a sudden she's this wonderful, devoted woman, this Christian woman who's giving her time to the Lord. She's not just the woman who came to church and, you know, and gave her life to helping the church to prosper, to worship here. It came from further than that. I can tell you who Annie was, but we know who Annie was. But did you know that her father was here, Samuel Murray? Did you know that he passed away, but he was a member of this church? Did you know that he was a Christian man who could neither read nor write? He didn't even have an education except what his wife taught him how to read and write when she herself had gotten a fourth grade education going to school at night at 50 cents a lesson. And so they didn't want to spend money unnecessarily. They were very frugal people. So she'd come home at night and she'd teach Sam the lesson she had learned that day. And so in that way, he got his fourth grade education, you see. But he was able to read. He would pick out, when we lived in New York, after we all lived together, because Annie's husband had passed away and my father had passed away. So the two sisters came together and they formed a family for the children. Well, the thing is that when I would go into my grandfather's bedroom, he would be reading, a man who never went to school. But you know, he'd be reading his Bible. Do we read our Bibles every day? Well, my grandfather read his Bible every day, and he was a hardworking man. He didn't have time, like we all say. Oh, gosh, I would like to read my Bible, but I don't have time. He didn't have time. He worked at night, 6 days a week, for over 20 years. No time off. No, only the holidays, the national holidays, which weren't very many at that time. But he had time. He had to sleep in the daytime and then, you know, sort of do the things he had to do as a family man. And then get ready to go to work. But he had time. He had time for the Lord. And he had time to take that reading so that he could read and put his fingers under those words and sound out the words. And he knew them. And he read that Bible 5 times. And every time you read the Bible, it was a little bit clearer and a little bit better. And he was more prolific. And you could go in his bedroom and he was just so full of wisdom, so full of love, so full of forgiveness. And that's who Annie was. She came from that. From her father and from her mother who worked hard for those children and had thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars when she died hidden in her mattress because they were frugal people. And I was taught by my mother, Annie's sister, if you make a dime, you save a penny. You don't go out and spend it, you save a penny. This is who she was. Yeah. This is who Annie was. And we go back to another generation. Annie's grandmother, who was stolen off the streets of Savannah, picked up an Indian woman walking the streets with her cousins, and she was stolen because her skin was darker, and the white man thought that, oh, they can work in the plantations, but they found out that they couldn't. They weren't built for that. They couldn't work plantation life. So they were never made slaves. They were discarded. Later on, she became a nurse who, I don't know exactly what you call it, but you deliver children. A midwife. So I want you to know that who we are is who our children are going to be. And who Annie is who her parents were and who her grandparents were. And though Christina, her grandmother, couldn't read or write, but she knew how to pray. Because we all know in here who our God is. We know right and wrong in here. He's placed it into the hearts of all of us. So we don't have to be near a church. You see, and if we couldn't read our Bibles, we still know the Lord. Because in the Psalms it tells you, we see him in nature. We see him in everything that he's done. He's put it here so that we could see it, so that we'd know it and we would know who he is. So as we talk about Annie, remember that we want to set an example for our children. And who we are is who our children are going to be. They're not going to suddenly appear 107 years later. You know, they're not going to suddenly appear Christians worshiping the Lord. It's who we are, the examples we set, and what we show them in our daily lives. And not just to our children, but to other people who are watching us, watching what we say, watching how we live, watching the examples that we set. You know what they used to say, it's not what you say, but it's what you do. You can't talk the talk, you've got to walk the walk. So Annie was a great example setter. And she came from others who set great examples. And now we need to take this, and not just remember Annie today, but we need to take this, let it become a part of who we are. That's what it's done for me. And let us take that further. Let us demonstrate it to other people in the world who meet us. Because of this woman that we met, we can be better. She was sent here for a reason. She prayed for this church, not knowing where she was going to be. But she said, I want to go to the right church. And God sent her here. He sent her here. He sent her here for a reason. So her spirit is here. So remember that, and remember that we want to set the same example. I want to set the example, so one day when I die, which is coming closer, so that one day when I die, someone will say, Gabriella set a great example. I told my kids, don't cry for me, because I know where I'm going. So let us set that same example for others that Annie set for us. And maybe we can become better. And maybe we can become, you know, an example to others. And we can become, as they said in the last chapter of Matthew, we can go out into the world. And we can spread the gospel. But not just in words, but in deeds. So let us go out. Let us remember Annie. What she taught us, the example that she set for us. And let us go out in the world and show other people that she, who was a disciple of the Lord, let us be disciples too as we go out in the world. And one day, praise God, we'll meet our Lord and he'll say, well done, you faithful servant. Amen. And that's what I want to be. That's all I want to be. The only other desire I have is that my children will grow to know the Lord, because they don't know him now like they should, although they attended this church. We've had 1, 2, 3 generations. So well done. And that they will know the Lord too. And one day we'll all of us, we'll see each other in heaven. And amen. When you see me, if I don't see you first, just say, Gabriella, and I'll answer the call.
All right. Amen. Thank you. A couple more. Anyone else? A couple more.
I'm just going to stay here and give me the mic. So I'm actually the youngest grandniece of Aunt Annie. My sister and I, actually all of us came here, but Magley and I spent a lot of time here. Spent a lot of time with my grandparents, which I always said was Aunt Annie, and Grandma, which was her sister Teresa.
And so we grew up knowing this church really well. It's been a very long time. Actually, when I walked in the door and I was like, my goodness, things have changed. I'm afraid to go to the restroom. I'm sure it's going to look very small to me. But Tante Jenny loved the church. She loved the church. She loved her family. She loved the community. She loved being here. I never really fully understood it, to be honest, because for me, Portland's just a little too small. But she loved it. It was perfect for her. Everybody in this church that she spoke to and everyone that she met, if you didn't have an opportunity to really get to know her, talk to someone who did, because she made a difference in everyone's life.
Yeah.
I never actually heard Tante Annie complain. I'm 37. I've never heard her complain in my life until the last 2 weeks where I was helping her, and she was in pain. And she, you know, said, please let me go home. And she was ready to go home. And I told everyone it's a bittersweet situation because it was the right time in her life. But we're all going to miss her.
Yeah.
We're going to miss the person that influenced my life and made me walk 2 miles to a bread store and I was exhausted and made my sister and I put on bonnets for church, you know. She was amazing.
Yeah.
She was a rock in all of our lives, and she did. She loved life. She loved life.
Amen.
So I do, I always tell people, I'm like, today, live it for today and make that count.
Yeah. All right. Anyone else?
Well, since I have a mic, I guess I'll say something. I myself, like Pastor Val, would go and visit Annie and stuff. And you go there to spend time with her and trying to give her a blessing. And she's always telling you stories and blessing you and spending time with her. And I remember one time we talked about before at the memorial service that Don LaFont used to go pick her up a lot when she wasn't. She was having problems with her toes and stuff, and she couldn't walk like she used to. And so he'd go over and pick her up. And a few times when they were out of town, I'd go pick her up, or we'd go together. And she'd be milling around the house. And she says, go just sit down. I'll be here in a few minutes. I'll be ready. She didn't want you to ever wait for her. Don't come. I won't be ready for a while. Things like that. So she was always thinking about somebody else. And a while back, we had block party a few times, and she wanted to come, so she wanted a ride. So Dawn would call her, and she didn't answer her phone. Waited a little while, called again, didn't answer the phone. He went over her house, she didn't answer the door, so he's getting kind of worried. He comes back, did she get here yet? I says, no. And as we're talking about it, Annie walks up. She walked from her house and showed up and sat down with everybody else while the band, the worship team was in the garage playing. And she sat down there and enjoyed it. She always wanted to be in church when she could. And when she couldn't, once a month, then the pastors and Don and Carol would take her communion. And that was very important for her, which is why we're going to do communion today, too.
Yes, the family and church were very important to Annie, but communion was as well. And Pastor John's going to come, and what fitting way to close up a service and to close up to this part of the stuff with communion. So Pastor John, come on up.